It's good to see y'all here today. So, last week, in our journey through our theme, which is Back to Basics this year, we finally got around to the mission of the church. You remember? We looked at this verse. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. By the way, it's great to see Lester here today. Oh my goodness. Thank you for your joyful self being here. You kind of bring up the whole mood of the room. That's great. So, after we looked at this verse last week, we kind of came to realize that the mission is to go, right? The mission is to go. Or maybe better translated, as you are going, as you go about living your life, make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. That's the mission. Go, make, baptize, teach. Say it with me. Go, make, baptize, teach. That's easy, right? That's simple. That's basic. It's fundamental. I said it was easy, but easy? Maybe not so easy. Seems like from the very beginning of our study of this Back to Basics theme this year, practically everything that we've looked at that started out simple, basic, easy, actually revealed things that were much deeper, much more difficult. Revealed matters that we've kind of been reluctant to consider because they challenge the status quo. They challenge the way things have always been, or rather, the way we think things have always been. By the way, we're usually wrong about that. More like challenge the way that we have grown comfortable with things. And so while this deeper or more difficult stuff may sound like a bad thing, it's actually a good thing. Because being stuck, being unable to think, being unable to move, being unable to change, that's the bad thing. So you're welcome. So where were we? Okay, yeah. The easy mission of the church. Go, make, baptize, teach. But for some of you, it actually is easy. It's like, it's just, that's who you are. You're so full of Jesus that He just spills out of you every time you bump into somebody. It's just, naturally, you're always on mission. I hate people like you. I'm just kidding. I'm actually envious of people like you. Envious of the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. When Holy Spirit gifting meets a person's natural tendencies and abilities and desires, that's when the magic happens. Amen? So last week we looked at mission and mission work in connection with this verse here, the Great Commission, and in connection with the opportunity that Marty Kuntz presented to us a couple of weeks ago in the form of Living Stone International University in Africa. And if you missed that sermon, by the way, you can now find the audio very easily now on our website. And I would urge you to go back and listen to it so we can all be on the same page. But let me thank those of you, I don't know who did it, but somebody has really made our website greater than it already was by making it so easy to find the sermon audios now. So thank you for doing that, whoever you are. You're awesome. Anyway, we looked briefly at the verse last week that is the motto of Livingstone International University. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are His holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. This past week, I found myself fascinated by this verse and by the phrase, living stones. Strange combination of words, isn't it? Living stones. Few of us, outside of our knowledge of the existence of this verse, would be tempted to say that stones, rocks, are living. Even those of you who back in the 70s got caught up in this craze, and some of you did in here, I know. Some of you are too young, you're going, what? What are you talking about? This is something that actually happened back in the 70s. Some unemployed dude in San Francisco came up with this idea of selling pet rocks. And within a year, he was a millionaire. You can admit it. Probably some of you bought one of these. You weren't really buying the rock. You were buying an idea. Really? It was crazy. But rocks, stones, they cannot move on their own. They do not breathe. They do not eat. They do not grow. They do not reproduce. Or any of the other things that science says you must have in order to be alive. Or living. About as close to living stones as I can imagine stones to be is this. This is a fossil, right? Or a bunch of fossils. Fossilized remains of ancient creatures on display in museums. Fossils, which comes from the Latin word fossus, which means dug up. Peyton probably knew that. Means dug up. Somehow they are formed when an organism is somehow buried and then mineralized. And its bones essentially turn to rock. And fossils are rocks, stones. And if you've got a wild imagination, perhaps you can imagine this Triceratops stepping off of its pedestal and wandering around through the museum. But really, there's no life there. There's no life in that stones. Yet Peter refers to us here as living stones. And maybe like me, the imagery kind of reminds you of another famous passage in Scripture back in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the Spirit of the Lord took the prophet to a valley full of the dried up bones of people, fossils, if you will. And the Spirit asked the prophet, can these bones live again? The prophet said, only you know, Lord. Speak to the bones, said God. And so he began to preach to the bones. And there was a great rattling sound as the bones started to come back together again. And then eventually flesh came upon them and then breath came into them and they lived again. Living stones, as it were. And it was a picture of how Israel thought they were just dead and of no use anymore. And God said, I can bring you back to life. Or maybe you recall from our study of Ephesians on Wednesday nights a few years ago that our state before Jesus was not much better than these bones here. I love how the version called The Voice portrays it here. As for you, don't you remember how you used to just exist corpses, dead in life, buried by transgressions, wandering the course of this world. Wandering corpses, the walking dead. I presume you get the picture. And it gets worse after this verse here, and I'm going to kind of skip over it, but for the sake of all of our peace of minds, and get to the good news. But with God, with the unfathomable richness of His love and mercy focused on us and united with us, the Anointed One, and infused our lifeless souls with life, even though we were buried under mountains of sin. He saved us by His grace. Souls buried under mountains of sin. That's how we get fossilized. That's how we turn into stone. But none of that is too difficult for our great God. Amen. Maybe you're beginning to get the impression that we don't bring too much to the table when it comes to being saved. We don't have much to offer. Walking corpses, dead bones. That's right. It's all through the work of God and through His grace. Which I guess brings us back to the living stones verse. Living stones. And by the way, if I could, as a side note, I don't think Peter could write this about living stones and the spiritual temple without remembering something Jesus said back one day. Just another day with Jesus for these guys. Of course, as we're learning from watching The Chosen, another day with Jesus was not just another typical day. It was always get used to different. Right, Don? Get used to different. Anyway, just another day with Jesus, and one of the guys thought he would make some conversation as they were leaving the temple, and he said this, what has happened here? As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his followers said to him, look, teacher, how beautiful these buildings are, how big the stones are. Just making conversation. Jesus said, do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone will be left on another. Every stone will be thrown down to the ground. Can you imagine that guy hearing that? Wow. Wow. As Peter wrote this, the temple stones were still standing. They were still standing when Peter wrote about the living stones. And it seemed, this prediction that they were all going to be cast down seemed as impossible as living stones becoming a temple. But Peter, whose name, by the way, means rock, which is interesting. But Peter, he had some experience of being a living stone himself. And so, he had no doubt that it was going to happen just as Jesus had said, even though it hadn't happened yet. And so he had no doubt that God can make a temple out of living stones of His people. So Peter wrote with confidence. And less than 10 years after he wrote about the living stones, the temple was in fact destroyed and thrown to every stone, thrown down, just as Jesus had said. Living stones. God takes what is dead, what is as good as dead, what is no better than dead, makes it live. This happens, as Peter tells us here in verse 4. You're coming to Christ, who is a living cornerstone. What happens when you come to Christ?
And if you look back in verses 2 and 3, you'll see that we come to Christ because we need and we crave the pure, simple teaching, just as a baby craves milk. We crave it so that we can mature and enjoy a full experience of salvation. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and so we keep coming back. So it's now at this point, after the Lord has made us alive, who were not alive, but now He's made us alive, now the work of construction into God's temple begins. And maybe you're wondering why such a thing is even necessary. I mean, we all know this verse. Don't you know your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? We all know that verse. Be careful what you do with your body, right? Oh, wait, there's a little bit more. The Spirit is in you, and you've received the Spirit from God. You do not belong to yourselves. God, we kind of forget that part of the verse, don't we? You do not belong to yourselves. That sounds like you're encroaching a little bit on my freedom, man. That sounds like I have some responsibilities beyond my own desires, beyond my own plans, beyond my own comforts. Of course, we know we all belong to Christ, and you can see that throughout the New Testament. Anywhere, almost any page you want to turn to, you'll see that. But also we belong to somebody else. Can anybody guess? We all belong to each other in the same body. We belong to each other. I mean, I belong to David, to Becky, they belong to me. I belong to Joel, he belongs to me. Yeah. Can you be a Christian by yourself? Paul really doesn't think so. Why? Are you trying to limit our freedom? Not at all. Just the opposite, in fact. There's so much more of God to be known and to be enjoyed than anyone can know by themselves. Than anyone can know away from the gathered body of believers. And as we're being built together, as we're being fitted together into the spiritual temple of God, there's a power, there's a presence of the Holy Spirit that is meant to be known in this gathering of worship. And you're just not going to find that or know that away from the body. But there's more. Some versions of this verse say just a little bit different. And if you remember in our class a few weeks ago, Andy taught us that one of the best and easiest ways to do some research is just to look at other versions of this verse you're looking at. Look at other versions and see what it has to say. Other versions of this verse say, let yourselves be used as living stones. The New Century Version. Let yourself be built into the temple. That's the New Revised Standard Version. Let yourselves be assembled into the spiritual house. That's the voice. Oh yeah, sure. It is God through the Holy Spirit who is doing the actual building. He's finding the right places for us to fit. The implication, the obvious implication, is that we're in a position to refuse to go along. Refuse to go along with God's plans and purposes for us. He's not going to overwhelm our will. We can refuse. Some of us refuse. And yet, we are called to submit. We're called to submit in obedience to what the Spirit is trying to accomplish. I wonder if that really describes me. I wonder if I'm really, really letting myself be used in the construction of this spiritual temple that God wants to build here. Am I letting the Spirit use me as He wants, as He knows, in the construction of this temple that He has envisioned? Am I the problem? Am I what is holding back the Spirit from being released to work in us to the full here at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ? You're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone, the living chief cornerstone. And then we, as the living stones, are taken and placed, nestled down alongside that chief cornerstone. And as we remain there, we begin to be formed by His presence with us. And then other stones are added around us, and on top of us, and under us, and beside us, each of which is also being formed by His presence as the chief cornerstone. And then we're further formed by their presence with us. Do you see how that constant closeness, us with Him, Him with us with others who are also being formed by Him, starts to grind away all of those parts that don't really look or act or speak or love or forgive or live like Jesus? That's part of the awesomeness of being a living stone. There's growth. There's change. Remolding is happening. But it only happens when we first allow the Spirit to use us in the building of His spiritual temple. And then it only happens in the daily pressure of His presence. And in a constant pressure, we sometimes call it friction, of the presence of the other living stones, as we all slowly begin to take on the shape and the form of the living cornerstone. The stone which, by the way, the human builders rejected, as it tells us in verse 7, tells us in Psalm 118. Verse 22. But that living stone, the chief cornerstone, which was rejected by men, was chosen and precious to God. Aren't you glad that people didn't have the last word over Jesus, the last verdict over Jesus? Aren't you glad that no one has the last verdict over you? Too small, too weak, too helpless, too hopeless, too useless, they say. God says, oh no. This one is just exactly what I need in my building. Let her sit here with my son. Let him stand among my children for a while. How marvelous this is going to be. No, this stone is just what I need right here. This living stone is just what I need right here.
you're ready to become a living stone and work in the temple of God, let me know while we stand and sing.